Welcome to About Sex, the podcast about sex. And my name is Josh, and with me is Angela Skirtu, who is a marriage and family therapist and a sex therapist. Hi, Angela.
Hey, Joshy.
What are we talking about today?
Teens.
Ooh, what about teens? I like those.
Teens who have sex.
Oh, no. That just got different. I don't like them that much. No. Okay, to be clear.
No, I was hoping to do an episode where we just normalize the fact that teenagers want to have sex.
Teenagers have sex?
Yes, they do. A lot of them do.
I don't know if that's realistic.
It's very realistic. Okay. And so common that we have to educate them.
Okay, so you want to normalize it. A lot of people think teens don't have sex. I mean, I think most people know they do. I think there's just a lot of parents who think that their kids don't have sex.
Or they're really trying to spend a lot of time preventing their kids from having sex.
Right. But the reality is if they want to have sex, they're going to have sex. They're going to find a way.
It's true. And I don't think.
And what happens? What's the problem with that? If they're trying to stop their kid from having sex, what's the problem?
Well, I think what happens is people want to do what they want to do, whether they're teens or adults.
They say, I do what I want.
Yeah. There's this you're not my dad mentality that we all have.
You're not my dad.
Yeah, actually, it's true. And so anytime you feel forced to behave in a certain way, right. You are naturally going to try and break free from that and lash out and do what you want to do.
Right.
Somebody's
trying to tell you what to think and what to believe and what to do with your own body.
Yeah, and teenagers by their nature are like willful and they're trying to become themselves. They're becoming adults,
you know. That's when they first really grow their brain and the cerebral, I believe it's the cerebral cortex grows. Mm-hmm. And it gives them more ability to discern and make decisions.
Yeah, and it's not fully developed. Let's be clear. It doesn't develop fully until their 20s. But
it starts to.
It's starting to.
That makes
to,
them want to make their own decisions.
Which makes they have their own opinions.
Oh, they have so many opinions. Although we have a 2-year-old and she is very opinionated.
You do.
Like she did not want
a
nap.
To have a lot to say.
She did. She had a lot of opinions today.
She sure does. But I mean, that's just human nature. And I think the challenge is for parents. Are that, you know, we're used, let's talk about
I think
about
the
it,
challenge
you know?
Is that they look at their teenager and they see their 2-year-old, which is
That's
what
I
we
was
have
just
now.
Thinking,
we
you
have
know?
A 2-year-old and you know what? No, she's not allowed to have sex.
I think parents struggle to see their kids transition into adults.
To an adult.
You know, and part of the best thing you can do as a parent is kind of take a step back and start teaching your teen to think for themselves.
Right.
Because not try to control them.
Because if you're trying to control them and force them to do something they don't want to do, then they're going to do it outside of your view, which means you can't then assist them in getting condoms, getting birth control, understanding how to do it, how to be safe, how to just give consent or tell somebody you don't want to consent.
What you end up having is a teenager who either hides it or a teenager who lashes out, and you guys are having a lot of fights.
So they just have sex in front
they're
of you?
They're just rebellious. Like, they're like, I'm going up now. You don't get to choose.
I'm
going to
go bang the entire high school. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is not the response they wanted.
I don't think. That's the point. And so really what we've got to do is teach teenagers to be smart.
Yeah.
Smart about their sexual choices. And that's the hard thing because that does involve you accepting that your teenagers will have sex.
And I think a lot of parents that I've talked to in general, they don't like that because they think if they teach their kid how to do it, it's almost like giving them permission to go out and do
it. I know.
But the reality is you don't get to make that decision. When your daughter or son is out there and having sex with somebody, you don't need to think, what do I need to do? It's like you don't do anything. Like Louis C.K. made it. I love that comment. He said, you don't do anything. He's like, my daughter's going to have sex. What do I do? Nothing. You do nothing because you're her father. You're not involved in that part of her life.
You can guide them.
You can guide them.
You can tell them what your values are and how you came to make decisions about your life.
Right.
But ultimately, they're going to make decisions for their life that's best for them. And you can't control them. And honestly, that's the biggest thing. If you as a parent can take a step back, instead of trying to control your teens, listen to them, explore with them what they're wanting to do, what matters to them. Mm-hmm. But then if you're more of a listening parent and willing to hear what they're interested in, you might actually be able to guide them.
Mm-hmm.
I think parents who do that step back, like where they are, they're still like there to listen to them and guide them.
Right.
But they're not forcing them. Like you, that my way or the highway parenting style is, it really is bad for teenagers.
No, it works with toddlers barely ever.
Barely. But so, they fight back too. The truth is, it doesn't work very well at
like,
all.
I said she had tablet time was over and she disagreed.
Yeah.
She made it very clear.
Well, I've had plenty of teenagers, though, come into my office with those kinds of parents. And the parents are like, fix these teens, of course, because it's always the teens. And you know what I do is I just talk to the kids about their values. Because do you know your teenagers have values? It's wild. They come up with their own ideals.
They have opinions.
They do. But if you actually figure out what they care about in this world and learn a little bit more about what's important to them, and you show that you care, that they have an opinion,
so how
then they're
you,
actually more willing to listen
how
to you.
How do you talk to your kid about sex then? Because honestly, I don't. We have a small child. We have a two-year-old. We're not talking about her about sex with her yet. So when you broach that, how do you talk about it? Like, let's role play a little. I'm the kid.
Okay.
Let's say I'm 11. You kind of want to let them know around that age when they're starting to get into puberty, maybe earlier. I don't know. What is a good age? Let's start with that.
Well, I mean, it's progressive. I think we've talked about this in an episode before, but sex should always be a topic to some degree in the household. You just don't talk about it as blatantly when they're young, you know, like you transition them into it.
Well, you don't tell them lies, like saying the stork brings
the baby. No, you don't lie. You don't lie and say that you had sex with a stork and that's how you got pregnant.
Right, because guess what? The stork has a reputation to keep. Sorry, that was my phone.
That poor stork, right?
Right.
No, but like you do tell them as much information as you can, but without you don't have to tell them everything. Like when they're really young, you tell them about their bodies. When at around 11
they don't
and 12,
they don't need to know about double penetration.
No, they don't need to know about. Oh God, they don't need to know about that. But they might need to know at 11 and 12 that they're going to start getting horny. They might start getting wet dreams, which are very much something that happens
at
that
age.
What's a wet dream? It's when you wake up and you're all wet because you came in your sleep.
Oh no!
I think it happens more to men. I don't think girls actually get wet dreams. I never got any when I was growing up.
I don't know if I ever did either. I don't know.
Yeah, well, some of them do.
I know I would wake up with a hard on, but that's just every day when you're a teenager.
I think wet dreams happen more if you're not masturbating, though. Like, it's your body's way of releasing those chemicals. But, like, if you're masturbating, you don't have to worry about it as much.
Yeah, it will make its way out somehow. It will come out through your pores
or
in your dreams. It will find a way to make its way out because you create it every day. Millions and millions of them.
You know, one thing you can do, I think that some parents could do, is actually just talk about how they made decisions. So you don't tell them what to do, but you say, you know, when I was your age, I was interested in girls or I was interested in guys. And
yeah, but they all lie.
Well,
I know my parents
lied
about their sex life. Like,
well,
100%.
I would discourage it. I think people should be honest.
Okay.
Because your parents. So here's the deal. Your kids are smart. You have very intelligent kids. And
maybe
if you
do.
Lie.
Some of us, though. Not so much. Go on.
If you lie, they know. They know you're lying.
Yeah.
And so I think your teens respect you more if you can be honest with them. And they feel like they can trust you more and tell you things.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm an advocate for honesty, even if it's tough. Like, you can say, you know what? I lost my virginity at a very young age, and I wish that I had parents around who were looking after me.
Right. For example.
That's an okay thing to say, you know, that like you ultimately get to decide what's best for you. But I am trying to tell you that 13 may be too young for you.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, like, that is an age that some people have lost their virginity.
A lot of people do. Actually, 12 and 13, that's when they first have sex.
And thinking about that, then that sex topic should happen at 11 or 12.
Yeah, or
that,
earlier.
And that doesn't mean that you can't protect your kids either. Like, obviously, don't leave them alone in a parking lot with other teenagers. There's nothing safe that's going to happen there.
Well, we used to always hang out in parking lots.
I would just always observe. I personally plan to, like, be around my daughter. And actually, I wonder what you think of this.
What?
But, like, some parents believe that it's better to have the the boyfriend or the girlfriend be at your house. So you get to know them. And if they are making out, they're at least making out in your house, and you're creating mm-hmm. a safe place for them rather than them going off somewhere where they're maybe unsafe. Maybe mm-hmm. they're in public where they can get trouble. Right. What do you think about that? Because, I mean, we do have a daughter. So.
Oh, God.
Real life questions. I know we
making
have a lot
out
more
is here. One thing, but the idea of my daughter having, when she's a teenager, having sex in the house, that's different. Like, I don't know how comfortable, I don't think I would be comfortable with that.
Well, I watched this documentary, and they were showing parents in Europe, and the parent in Europe said, of course I'd have my children have sex in my house. I'd rather them do it there than get in trouble somewhere else. And mm-hmm. I thought that was a very interesting way of putting it, because these parents in Europe, they're very open about sex. They don't think it's weird for teens to have sex with each other.
Here's one problem I could see with that. The parent of the other child, the other teen.
Yeah, that's
true. If they know that they're coming over your house and having sex with your daughter or your son, how comfortable are they going to be with that? So,
well, you know, my sister did it a really cool way where she said she wasn't cool with them having sex in her house, but she was okay with them making out. But she told her daughter very clearly, mm-hmm. So, you know, randomly, I'm going to just walk up. And I'm going to announce myself.
Hello.
You know, but she would not let them be alone too long, mm-hmm. but she'd let them be alone long enough to experiment.
Heavy petting, yeah.
You know, something and like I think teens can do heavy petting. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that in my house.
They
I really don't.
I mean, yeah.
if they don't do it in your house, guess where they do it? They do it at the movie theater. They do it at the mall. That's why you see teenagers with their tongues down their throat in the mall, and you're like, come on, guys, get a room.
That's why the mall
guess what? They can't get
teenagers.
A room. You didn't give them one.
Yeah, you can't afford a hotel room when you're 15, 16.
You're a teenager.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like to take that like European mentality because
sure.
I think that they're a little bit better about the way they're handling sex. Like in that same documentary, they asked teens.
I mean, I gotta say experience. When I was 15, I had a girlfriend, and yeah, I totally wanted to have sex with her, but we didn't have a place to have sex, so mm-hmm. we never actually had sex when we were dating, and we dated for like a year.
Yeah,
but if we had had a safe space to do it, we totally would have, and we would have used protection.
Yeah. Well, wasn't that the one where he kind of knocked on the window every now and then if you guys were alone?
Yes, I got. There
I
was one point
story.
Where my father was away, and I had his house, and I walked from my girlfriend's house to my house with her, and we went in there and we started making out, and like swear to God, a minute later, I see a little head pop up in the window right over her shoulder and knock on the window. What's up? It was her father.
That's so funny. And see, I think that's okay, though. Like, if you really don't want
he
people to go to
that
next
to happen.
Step.
I understand
that's
that.
Fine. Like, go in there and say, hey, guys, pull it back.
He did. He did not want that happening.
I think that's okay.
He's protecting
that's,
his
but
daughter.
But that's you protecting your kid. That doesn't mean you're trying to control them. I think there's a difference.
Well, that's still trying to stop them from having sex.
Well, sure, but it's not like you're not allowed to ever.
No, that is their rule. No, really, that is.
I guess so.
That was my parents' rule. That was their parents' rule. Like, you did not have permission to have sex. So you had to hide it.
Well, so what do you think? I mean, should teens have permission to have sex, or should they not have permission?
They don't need your permission. They're going to do it anyway. Like, really, they're gonna. It happens. Like, the statistics show it. And the problem with you not understanding that is that you are then going to be on that other end of the statistics, because they show places where they only teach abstinence only.
Yeah.
They have a much higher pregnancy rate.
And STD rate.
So do you want your kid to get AIDS and have an AIDS baby? Or do you want your kid to have protection and maybe they're in your home and you feel a little uncomfortable about it? I think I'd rather take the second one.
Yeah. Well, for those of you who don't know, that's actually considered a harm reduction approach.
Yep.
So harm reduction assumes that people have their vices. Mm-hmm. Sex, drugs,
rock and roll,
whatever it is. And anytime you tell people they can't do it, they're just going to find a way to do it. And often in an unsafe way. Mm-hmm. And so it's better to accept that people will do these vices and engage in their vices.
Sure.
But
they
then
feel good.
To offer protection and teach them to be safe and smart.
Sure.
Right.
Even the word vice, though, makes it a negative thing. They're
going
to do
saying,
things that make them feel good.
People do things that make them feel good.
But sometimes harm can come to them when they're doing those things.
Exactly,
so
and we want
to
protect them from harm. I always have this story, and it's about the helmet on the bike, right? So, like, when you send your kid off on a bike, you put a helmet and knee pads and arm pads on,
that's
right?
That's a bit much.
Well, yeah. You put it on there because you want to protect them in case they
not
crash.
Not because you're accepting that
not
they're going
to crash.
Not
because you agree that crashes are a good life choice.
You're not giving them consent to crash.
No, you're not. No. You're saying, hey, I don't want you to get harmed should you crash.
Right.
So that's the same thing with condoms.
So the same thing with sex, you give your kid a condom in case their penis crashes into a woman's vagina.
It was an accident that happened.
Oops,
50 times.
I fell into her so much.
It was a misunderstanding,
days.
I hear.
Exactly.
But the point is, in Europe, if a person has a condom in their wallet, they're seen as a responsible person.
Mm-hmm.
And here in the United States, a teen. Yeah,
a teen
if a teen has
a condom
in her
purse.
Wallet,
yeah.
She is considered a responsible person. In America, if that same condom is in somebody's purse or wallet, they're considered
a slut.
Or
something negative.
It's something negative, and I think
thing.
That is a problem with our society.
Yeah, because people don't like sex for some reason.
Why? Sex is wonderful. I hear it's very healthy.
It's a great way to control people. That's the only way I could think about it.
God.
Anyway. And people are uncomfortable about it. That's the reality, is that people see their daughter as this cute little thing, and no, I don't want anybody to do anything to my daughter ever. Nobody's ever allowed to have sex with her.
I understand, but one day she will grow up.
I know, and I will have nothing to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
That is not my business. That's the reality. That's the only way I can function as a father, just not knowing
pretend
anything
it
about
never
it.
Happens.
No, I'm gonna know. I know it's gonna happen. I just need to not be told of anything about it, because that's my baby girl. Come on, I think that's the only way you can function as an adult. That's it. Knowing that your kid is going
to
have
sex.
And
do your best not to get them, to leave them in terrible situations.
Because when they're
18,
19, 20, they're an adult, they're going to have sex also. Mm-hmm. Even if you make it all the way till adulthood, stopping them from having sex, you're still going to have to come to terms with the fact that they're a sexual being.
Well, you know, what's interesting is that actually when teens are given comprehensive education about sex, they actually tend to wait till they're older to have sex.
Right.
Whereas if they get more of the abstinence or no education, then they have sex at younger ages.
Yeah. Right.
And they tend to get married quicker if they're trying to wait.
Yeah. Yeah, because they have to be married to have sex. You might as well get married because they're going to have sex. Anyway, that's a good point to wrap it up. I think we both agree on that. It's like, kids are going to have sex.
Just protect them, people.
Protect them.
Protect.
Yep. Anyway, you can check us out at www.aboutsexpodcast.com, or you can find Angela Skirtu, sex therapist, at
www.therapistinst.louis.com or on Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+.
Just look up
and YouTube.
Look up Angela Skirtu, Skurtu. Yeah. She's all over the place.
Anyway. And Huffington Post, actually.
Oh, wow. She's on the Post. Anyway, have a good night, everybody.
Stay dirty.